It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Bogman, I'm Chris Welsh. You guys can listen on the free app if you're not doing that. Maybe you're listening on the stream. FantasySportsNetwork.com/radio. That's cool. But they also got the free app. You can do that. Ooh, how about TuneIn? There's another one that's got a good feed if you want to check it out. So lots of places to listen to us. You can keep us on the go. You can listen on demand if you missed any of it because you missed hour one, maybe. That sucks. Thanks for listening if you continued through. What do we talk about in hour one? Talk about WrestleMania, Conor McGregor, Gabe Kapler, just a bunch of wrestlers, big-bodied steroid wrestlers.
They're all in a Royal Rumble.
Allegedly. Yeah, exactly. Allegedly. But how about I got a better nickname than the name? What did I give the nickname? Raw Dog for Ohtani. How about the main event?
The main event. I mean, that is Shohei Ohtani's name.
That is his brand new nickname. And I have penned it. So just credit. All credit to. And like royalties. Send those to me. I like some
royalties. I'm sure you'll get them. Hold your breath for them.
Yeah, well, what did I say? So on the break, we were talking about who would you trade for Ohtani at this point. And I brought Marcell Ozuna as like a potential one. And I think that's high. I mean, dude, the one we did a couple days ago, we said Jose Berríos, and Ohtani won it pretty handedly. Okay, so let's step the game up. I say Marcell Ozuna, but on the commercial break, we were kind of thinking about it. And we were like, I don't know, man. I think we could go deeper. So we pulled up. We kind of looked at the ranks, the current ranked players. And Bogman, I have got it. I have got the player that we are going to push at the listeners. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Shohei Ohtani or Brian Dozier? That's the one. Third round pick.
I think a bunch of Oriole fans would agree with you.
Yeah, probably. Third round pick, Brian Dozier. Shohei Ohtani. Power, average, speed. Second base, I put the tweet out. You can go check it out. Is it the Welsh? That's my Twitter handle. Do you want to know what the current rate? I put you on it so you can retweet it. But do you want to know what the early poll results are?
What are they?
53% Shohei Ohtani over Brian Dozier right now. I kid you not. I don't know where this is going to end up.
Ohtani's in the third round right now.
That's what people are saying based off of these results. That's what they're saying. I think one person, I can't tell, is he trying to defend Yahoo? In a weekly lineup league, two Ohtanis make sense. How else do you use him?
Well, because in a weekly lineup, you have to pick, is he a hitter or is he a pitcher?
If he has two.
Here's a simple solution. Don't do weekly.
Yeah, don't do. Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell him. Solution, don't do weekly. That is what I'm going to tweet him.
So or Ohtani probably, loses if he has a little bit of value.
Yeah, I agree with that. If he has two starts, you start him as a pitcher. If he's got one start and it's a bad matchup, you go hitter.
Yeah, he's going against the Astros. Let him hit.
I got to be honest with you. Yeah, in a weekly league, I don't want hitter version Ohtani in my lineup the whole week.
No.
You're never going to play him. You're never going to. Don't play weekly.
Yeah, I don't like weekly leagues. You know, I don't like setting the lineup for an entire week because I think it hampers you. You miss days. I don't like that.
I do. I am surprised. I'm very maybe I shouldn't be because we're coming off of and it's actually coming down now a little bit. 51% Ohtani. So people are kind of the rational minds are kind of coming out and they're voting in. And I think when it's all said and done, I think Dozier is 55%, 58% somewhere in there. But that still means a lot of people are going to be pushing that mentality of Ohtani as a third to fourth round pick, which he wasn't necessarily going there, but he was going in the 60s. So he was going like late five, early six in early pre-draft stuff.
Yeah. You saw that fall as his spring training performances were subpar. You know, I know in one of our satellite leagues, the Welsh, somebody picked him up around pick 150.
I remember.
I think I got him around a little bit past 100. I considered one share I have.
Yeah, share that you had, private. I had considered, but I think I might have been, I don't know where I was on
pitching. We were kind of picking on, I think, opposite ends at that point.
Yeah.
No, not in the crybaby because I we picked next to each other in the crybaby.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. One of them I felt like I was close to getting him, but I ended up having absolutely zero shares.
Oh, not one?
Not one share.
I thought you got one.
Nope. Not one. 12.
Not once, Dewey.
Not once. In 12 leagues I'm in, I have no Shohei Ohtanis.
That's depressing.
I don't even, yeah. If you played in Yahoo, you had multiple chances to get any of the Ohtanis.
Yeah, I don't know. Did we already talk about this? Is he the most hyped player? We Japanese did. Player already coming over?
Yep, had that conversation. Are you having Alzheimer's?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm losing it a bit. I think you
want to ask if
Ichiro.
We talked about Kapler?
I think you picked Ichiro because you don't have any shares.
No, I mean, I said Dice K's early on excitement was,
yeah,
I think
I
it
know.
Was on
I'm
the same level.
I'm saying that you're biased and no one should trust your opinion.
Oh, okay, that's what we're saying. The same because I'm biased against Shohei Ohtani, even though I've seen him in person multiple times.
And you're best friends and you have an apartment together.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be fun. That'd be difficult, though, because I don't speak anything but, like, bad English.
American.
Yeah, well,
I only speak American. I don't speak anything else, boy.
He's amazing. Shohei Ohtani, it's something else, and that is going to be something to follow. So if you guys want to check it out, like I said, is it the Welsh? That's the Twitter handle. 52% want Shohei Ohtani over Brian Dozier. I saw Brian Dozier going 30 in some leagues.
People like Dozier. I mean, a lot of people have turned on Dozier, you know, for the his antics.
That seems pretty common.
Saying other, talking about other antics.
Yeah, that's definitely pretty common. Hey, I want to turn the tables a little bit. We can talk about more Ohtani as we go here, but I want to just bring this story up. I don't want to go long on it because it's also like sad in nature, but this is wild to me, this story that is coming out, because it never crossed my mind. So we know about 2 years ago, we lost, which probably was, I mean, just one of the biggest upcoming pitchers that everybody had high hopes for. I think, I don't know many people that just didn't love the guy. You know, there's some players out there that, like, you'll hate teams. You only like your team. But then you just really like that one guy. I'm trying to think off the top of my head right now, like, who that is. Because I remember, like,
Nolan Arenado.
Nolan, that's a good one. Nolan Arenado is one of them. I feel like David Wright kind of some years back was another one of those. Big Poppy, maybe unless you're a Yankee, but everyone else, you kind of liked Big Poppy. You know, stuff like that. There's probably a couple. Noah Syndergaard is a perfect example of where I'm going with that. It's a player that just, like, even if you're not a Mets fan, you just love that guy. Jose Fernandez, that was one of those players that we all really, really loved. And we know, tragically, he was killed in a boating accident. And there's a lot of stuff that was involved. There was, like, apparently, like, a toxicology report that came out that found some, it was positive for, like, cocaine and alcohol. And that was,
he was, like, three times the legal limit.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. And it was, like, alcohol. late at night, too. And it was a very tragic story, and it kind of ended there. Well, there's been a lot of silence to it. All of a sudden, I mean, it feels like it came out of nowhere. The Jose Fernandez, his family, the attorney for Jose Fernandez, Ralph Fernandez, by the way, no relation,
yeah,
has filed a document with, apparently it's a Miami-Dade County court,
yep,
claiming that state investigators tampered with evidence to make it appear Jose Fernandez was behind the wheel at the time of the crash. So they are saying it is a conspiracy. Ralph Fernandez is representing the estate in two wrongful death lawsuits filed by the families of both passengers, Emilio Macias and Eduardo Rivero. Both are seeking $2 million in it. So this is not, is this, I thought this was the Jose Fernandez family. Other guys?
Well, the other guys are suing Jose Fernandez's estate for the money because Jose Fernandez was found to be at the wheel during the crash, and if you are at the wheel during the crash, you are at fault for the crash, so it would be a manslaughter. So if Jose Fernandez was the only one that survived, he would have been found guilty of manslaughter. Well, so they sue Jose Fernandez's estate.
Okay, so they're doing that, but Jose Fernandez's lawyer is claiming investigators planted evidence, which is that is the thing that is, like, blowing their mind.
So he wrote up, Raul Fernandez filed a 167-page report that details the mishandling of evidence, and he suggests even tampering. He suggests that Jose could have even been drugged.
They said right here, unwitting recipients of a spike drink or a Mickey of sorts, as he says in the document. And it says, Fernandez theorized that Jose Fernandez and Rivero were drugged as part of a robbery scheme and that the crash may have been caused by foul play. Ralph Fernandez said Jose Fernandez was carrying a backpack with $15,000 in cash to tip Marlins employees. That I missed the first time I read this, because I was like, why the hell does he have $15,000 with him? To tip Marlins employees. Authorities found the backpack, but did not find any cash. The rest of this bottom story, which is on thelocal10.com, says the attorney said that the fact that investigators did not find any drug paraphernalia or drug residue at the crash site supports his argument that Jose Fernandez and Rivero were drugged without their knowledge. Ralph Fernandez said the toxicology findings influenced how investigators made their determinations, and authorities failed to consider that Jose Fernandez may have been drugged against his will.
And the big thing, in this too, is that one of the gentlemen that passed away in this accident, his father was a Miami-Dade County police detective. So, I mean, this is playing out like almost like a movie. You know what I mean?
I mean, and that's what Jose Fernandez, Ralph Fernandez, the lawyer, is kind of saying. Is he saying, look at all of these things? Where was the paraphernalia? Where's the money? Where? I mean, there are so many elements of it. Plus, they're also, claiming that the police department poorly did this, that they had a poor investigation that they did not look through. And that, to me, is, it is so wild. But then there's a part of you that's like, I mean, somebody knew Jose Fernandez was going to be on this boat.
Right.
I don't know why they would go Marcelo the whole drug route.
Marcelo Ozuna knew he was going to be on the boat because he invited Marcelo Ozuna out on the boat. Yeah. And Marcelo Ozuna is afraid of the water at night, so he said no.
Yeah. So, I mean, as I would be too. There's something about the ocean. But, I mean, like, you hear that, like, your first reaction to this, and as a person, you're just like, well, come on. Like, can we not take it? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you can't take anything for what it is. But then you look at some of it and you're just like, I mean,
this is all weird stuff. Like, you know, obviously, Ralph Fernandez is going to do what he can and suggest that, you know, he said that the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission said that Jose was driving the boat, that's wrong. Like, of course, he's going to come out and say that. He is defending Fernandez's estate against these people that are suing it. That's his job. Right. He's supposed to discredit the people that made these foundings. Like, these are things that he's supposed to do. But saying that, there could be tampering going on, I mean, that is a real big deal.
It is. And I mean, like, I got to wonder, because I feel like we had this conversation a long time ago when, you know, this kind of went down, especially when we got the toxicology reports. Is the question was like, did that change any of your mind about Jose Fernandez? Like, I still see Jose Fernandez's huge smile. You know, that's the huge thing. I can still see that in my eyes. Does the toxicology report, when you hear, like, oh, there's alcohol and cocaine involved, and, you know, the crash happened at 65 miles an hour at night, like that type of stuff, does that change any? Is there a legacy change in your mind at all? That's one thing. And I think a lot of people would say no. You just remember the player for who he was. Yeah. And a lot of us, it's not for us to judge, you know, necessarily the
right.
I mean, though people died.
There are plenty of us that could have been in that situation had, you know, we had a little bit of worse luck.
But do you think this is something that could just hover? If there's going to be some wild lawsuit and there,
is going to be completely drug out, and
this is going to be a book.
Names are going to be drugged through the mud, like, especially Jose's.
I hear this type of thing, and I'm like, well, I mean, is this going to be Ralph Fernandez is going to pen a book about this investigation? And like, this is like a movie type of thing that they're playing out.
Well, there's also another thing going on here. I don't know if you saw this part, but Ralph Fernandez got out there to the accident site, shortly after it was discovered. So the attorneys for the two they're suing Jose Fernandez's estate are trying to get him thrown out of the case as a witness.
Oh.
So all of this stuff would have to be either not filed, like all the stuff that he filed would go away, or a new lawyer would have to come in and file the same type of report and have the same type of findings.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, it's just, it's going to be a gigantic mess.
Do you buy any of it?
Not really. You know, I think, you know, what I do buy is that, how could they tell that he was the guy at the wheel? You know, because they found his DNA on the wheel. Okay. I mean, did they find anyone else's DNA on the wheel? Because if they did, there could be a reasonable assumption that the other people were driving the boat. So I just don't know how you could really know.
I think it was his boat. I think it was.
Sure. It was his boat.
Yeah, it was assumption.
But I mean, if there are any of those other guys, DNA on the wheel, you can make the assumption that they were driving too. I mean,
feels like nothing ever lies anymore. It feels like there's always something. And you see this type of stuff. It's unfortunate to see, you know, the other guys suing the Fernandez estate. And then, again, I don't know if it's a reality they think this, and maybe there's more stuff we don't know. But what I do know is I feel like this is not going to be the last we've heard of this.
No,
articles are coming out.
Not.
It feels like it's going to get bigger. And I just saw it, and you know, usually that wouldn't be something we would talk about, but it was just mind-blowing to see that saga we have seen just carry out like this, that it's a conspiracy. A conspiracy against Jose Fernandez, so it's wild. But we'll be back. We got a whole bunch more to cover. There is baseball, even some prospects, and actually, I had an interaction with a prospect that just got suspended. Maybe we'll talk about it. We'll be back. It's In This League.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
In This League
is cooking.
WrestleMania weekend, brother. What's up? It's ITL, not RVD. In This League, that's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. Welcome back. Thanks for joining in to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, did you know that Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for casual recreational players? Did you know that? Flatter prize pool, smaller field, and single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor also has fun contests going on. This year, Fantasy Factor is running a $100,000 home run derby. Simply sign up and enter. Go to www.fantasyfactor.com. Go do it. Welcome back. By the way, that poll that we put out, who'd you rather have, Shohei Ohtani or Brian Dozier? It's flipping a little bit. Dozier, as we're looking at it, 52%. Shohei Ohtani, 48%. So flipping out a little bit. We'll see.
Just speaking of WrestleMania, do you have the drop for a new full 60 show?
Oh, yeah. The Booker T drop. Yeah. By the way, if you're a fantasy football head, you got to listen to our show. It's over on Fantrax. And by the way, if you wanted to, you know, have Shohei Ohtani in the right way, you'd be playing on Fantrax. But Bogman, myself, and Joe Pizzapia, we host a year-round fantasy football show called The Full 60. Full 60 Fantasy Football. You can find it on iTunes if you want to check out the podcast. And if you go to fantraxhq.com, you'll see it there. And we had a very, very funny thing. Do you want me to just play it, and then you can set up why this sounder
well,
is
I
how
think
it
you
is?
You should play it and then kind of let the mystery be.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. So
like if you want to know where that came from, you got to go listen.
Great point. So in WrestleMania fashion, in fashion of Bogman's story from hour one, where Booker T refused to acknowledge Scott Bogman, this is one of the sounders that we play over at Full 60.
Did you dig that?
I'm a Cobb
sucker.
That's it. No more.
It's all you get.
It's all you get. There's a Burkhead one in there, too. There's a Burkhead joke that we can talk about. So go listen to it. Full 60 fantasy football. I think that's it. What did people write? Let's see what people are writing here. I think in fantasy, it is fun to own shiny new toys. Ohtani is that toy that we all want to own, even if the production doesn't match Dozier. That is Tyler Wilson at King of Buffalo. That's what he said. And then Derek, who I said don't play in weekly, says, so you don't play any weekly leagues? I don't like the two Ohtanis either, but I just think in weekly that's the best solution. I would hate having Ohtani and facing Ohtani the same week. That's dumb. Side note, I'm an idiot and have zero shares. That's pretty funny. Now he's right. I'll respond to him. He's that is very good. Very good interneting. Speaking of interneting. We teased this. We got a lot of stuff to cover, and we're going to cover fantasy baseball, and there's just other stories. But a big story that dropped on Friday was about a top prospect in baseball. And the reason it's a little bit more relevant than usual is this is a, I mean, more relevant in my world especially, but this is
take a drink.
Yeah. This is, oh yeah. Ooh, name drop. Yeah, take a drink. This is a prospect that had the potential to come up this year. You know, there was talk of like early season come up, even though he was going to go to Double-A. But his bat destroyed last year. He went to the Arizona Fall League, continued to mash. And what we're talking about is Michael Chavis with the Boston Red Sox. And I covered him and you know, Ronald Acuna and all these guys in the Arizona Fall League. Saw him a whole bunch. He's a humble guy, kind of a quieter guy. He's short. He's like a thick dude.
So?
He's like, yeah, not that type. I mean, so? Hey, successful short. But he was like a
make fun of short, thick dudes.
Just like a log, man. He was just like a square, just muscle. And I've told
the
story.
He's on the Bogman team, not the Swamp Thing team.
Team Bogman, exactly. I told the story. Me and Eno Saris, when we were at the Fall Stars name drop, we were on the field, and when Chavis
hammered
hit,
now.
Yeah, I know. We're getting people toasty. And
like halfway through. Show.
When after Chavis, he hit this homer, just ridiculous homer, just Eno just started busting out laughing, and it was making me laugh. I had already seen and heard the loudness of Chavis's BP, but Eno just starts laughing, and then Chavis walked over, and then he started laughing because of Eno, and we chatted with him for a second. So, a fantastic year. He had a fantastic killer year, and what happened, though, in the biggest disappointing news that you could possibly get, it comes out today or Friday that he has been suspended for 80 games, Michael Chavis, for, I mean, Christ, what is that? I'm going to try to read this on the air. What
no,
the thing
no.
is. Yeah, let me find it real quick.
Do we have a shot game for the Welsh mispronouncing names and things?
All right. It's a long, long word.
Man.
I mean, it's...
Can you put it in the chat and I'll give it a crack too after
you
butcher
it? It's at least 20 letters long. Ooh. So let me...
Maybe don't.
Yeah, no, I'm going to just let you see it and then I'm going to take a shot at it. It's not... I think it's actually better than... But look at
that. Oh, my God.
All right. So it's dihydrochloromethyltestosterone. Dihydrochloromethyl testosterone.
Well, dihydrochloromethyl testosterone.
Testosterone. There you go. I think you did it.
Or testosterone.
Not gonna.
It's not testosterone.
Dihydrochloromethyl
testosterone.
Sure. Whatever.
Sylvester
guys.
Stallone.
Yeah,
I got some Michael Chavis. Come on over my locker, man. Give me some money.
Okay, so Michael Chavis suspended 80 games. It's a huge, huge blow. I see this report out, and I'm like, dude. I was like retweeting. I like tweeting about Chavis. I remember I had this moment where I had it was like weeks after the Fall Stars game, and I was tweeting like a picture of his swing and. You know, he'll like some of the stuff, whatever. So about 20 minutes after the report hits, Chavis drops a personal message on Twitter. A lot of guys will do stuff like this. This is the longest one I've ever seen. It's over 4 paragraphs.
It
usually,
must be the most sincere then.
I mean, and there's a point to that too. I'm going to talk about some of this, by the way. I'm not going to go into some of the details, some of the stuff that's going on my front of this. And I'll talk about it on Prospect One if you guys want to listen. It's my show that I do on Prospect Baseball. Just search Prospect One anywhere. You can check it out. Love to have you come over. But he writes because, and I'll tease what I'm not going to talk about on here is I got people calling me out on this as well, which is fine. But here's just like a little snippet of some of the stuff he said. He goes, so today I am faced with the reality that I will be suspended under Major League, blah, blah, blah. I like this. He's like, over the past several months, I've been searching for an answer to how a prohibited substance I've never heard of, DHMCT, which was detected in my urine during the off season. He says it's unfortunate. He says he fully supports a drug system. It's really painful to see that he's now in it. This is something that I took to heart when he said this. I thought this was at least telling in the response. He says, anyone that knows me as their son, brother, teammate, player, or friend is aware of how deeply I love this game and who I am as a person. They also know that I would never jeopardize my career and the integrity of the game or disrespect myself or my family by purposely taking a banned substance. Finally, they know how drug and alcohol have personally affected my family, so much so that I have never tried either of them in my entire life. So he's kind of admitting to, you know, personal struggle in you know, that area, which I have had, not me personally, but I have had in my family. Personal stuff go on there. He goes on. He talks about he, you know, wants to do everything he can to try to repair his relationship. It's a long thing. And I think, I mean, you see that and the initial reaction is it's pandering. Let's just call it spade a spade. The initial reaction is it's pandering. We saw that. Didn't Gregory Polanco or Starling Marte or somebody get one of those? And it was just so, it was like,
well,
a paragraph.
Polanco never tested positive.
Not
that
Polanco.
Was Marte.
Who am I? Was it Marte?
Yeah, it was Starling Marte.
Completely insincere.
Well, you know
insincere.
Who did the most famous version of this? And this is why no one buys it. And this is probably why you're getting, like, I'm, to be honest, I'm impressed that you still have the wherewithal. Because to me, it sounds like you're kind of buying it. Are you kind of buying it or no?
I don't know. I think there. I don't know exactly.
Even the fact that you say that to me means that you aren't completely jaded like a lot of other people are. He's a lying liar. You know, Ryan Braun is a lying cheater. And that was the guy. That was the last guy where I was like, well,
you're
this
saying,
dude
you're
is
saying Chavis is a lying liar.
He's a lying liar.
Oh, okay.
And I, you know, Ryan Braun is kind of the last straw for me because I wanted to believe Ryan Braun. I liked everything that he had done up to that point. And I just, you know, obviously, personally, for you and me, it digs a little deeper because he was on those horse steroids when he hit five bombs against the Diamondbacks in the playoffs.
You know, Boggs, it's really interesting that you're saying this because that's not something I had thought about. Where, because at first I was just going to say, well, okay, what? Like, so Ryan Braun jaded you. But I know what you're talking about because Ryan Braun dug his heels
yes.
into
like he
this
had Aaron
is,
Rodgers backing him up because they both play in the Milwaukee area. He was trying to get all these people on his side, and then he tested positive again. And, you knew at that point, he's just a lying liar.
That's a great point.
Scumbag.
That is, I mean, hey, listen, man, that is a great point. That dude dug his heels in Ryan Braun, and he did not, and furthermore, he screwed up the integrity of the dude who got the sample.
Yeah.
He threw that guy into the bus. So he was a scumbag, absolute scumbag. Listen, dude, I think there is question in general, because there is a part of me that does have the belief out there that there are so many over-the-counter natural supplements that have so much crap in it that could they kick off some of this stuff? I do think it's possible. Could there be stuff in meat? I don't know. It's possible. Do I buy 90?
Could there be aliens? It's possible.
It's possible.
It is a possibility. I can't say for a fact. There are no aliens.
Some of the unique stuff, that, like, I think there was, like, some player that was, like, you know, tainted meat or something like that. Like, that's pretty far-fetched.
Right, yeah.
And listen, I'll tell you this right now. I am saying that I do think there are, I don't know how much you do it, but, like, I'll go to, like, Sprouts, and I got to go get something. My wife's like, hey, can you get, you know, calcium, magnesium, and this and that? And I go, and I'm like, why is there so much stuff? There's so much stuff. And then you go to, like,
you can't
a
get vitamins through a drive-through the Welsh, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. But what I'm saying is there is so much going into everything nowadays. I do think it is possible there are traces of certain things that kick off some of these tests in other elements. So I'm saying that. Here's the other thing I'm saying. I think
Hold on. Okay.
I think it is idiotic for anybody. And I'll say this to Chavis as well. Idiotic to not know what you're putting in your body. Even if it's an accident. It could be a total. You could have gone and got some blue green algae. You'd have got some, you know, Men's multivitamin by Garden of Life or whatever, and putting that in. You, when your job is put on the line based on the things that you put in your, on your, in your body, guess what? Mine isn't. I can put all types of horrible stuff in my body. Guess what? I do. So do you. When your job is based on the things that you put inside your body, you should know everything. I would take every supplement I have and I would go to MLB and I would get written confirmation that this is something that I can have. Can I have this? Is this okay? I would have everything tested. So that's me. So I think these guys are morons when you don't get this checked out.
Okay.
Could it be a mistake? Yes, it could. But therein lies to me, there is a window to say that I think some of these guys could get mistakenly put to
it. Here's – okay. So I'm looking at – this is the same stuff that Chris Colabello got popped for. And there's an SB Nation article. It says by Dang You to Heck. I don't know who that is, but this is an SB Nation article. And this says, you know, what is – on the first part, a little history of what this crap is. The DM, whatever this name is known as oral turnibol. As the name implies, it is taken as a pill. It was developed and patented in 1961 by East German Pharmaceutical Company and used as a performance-enhancing anabolic steroid for decades. It's one of those PEDs that's mainly responsible for all those communist gold medals handed out from then until tests were developed to detect it. Now, why no one should be taking this crap, he goes on to say, first, these days, it's not made by a pharmaceutical company anymore. It was discontinued as a sanitarily produced, quality-controlled dose, accurate compound back in 1994. It is only available through black market labs. So,
okay.
I mean, someone still could have slipped this to him. You know, one of his trainers could have put it in a shake or something along those lines. So it's not something that you have to inject into your body like all those horse steroids that Ryan Braun was taking. But it is something that, you know, if you're taking it, it's most likely you know what you're taking.
I mean, and that probably goes to the suspension. And I'm okay with that. Like I said, I'm not here and I'm jaded in it because I have I don't really have a relationship, but I've had I've seen the guy, I've been around the guy. I personally have been a proponent of him, you know, in my prospect rankings.
Yeah,
he's been
like
a sleeper guy. I like the guy. The first thing I tweeted out when I saw this was I couldn't be more disappointed in this. This sucks. Okay. Then I read the statement and I just, here's what I said. I said,
well, you want to pull for these guys.
For these guys. I thought, and I don't know what you think, and obviously you hate all of them, and that's totally fine. I thought the length of the letter and there was some candid stuff in there, and maybe it was me when he talked about the personal struggle in his family with drug addiction and not going there. That meant something. I don't know what it meant. Does it mean he wouldn't do it? No, sure. Some guy could be like, okay, I'm more motivated to get more money so I can make sure my family's taken care of. Sure, there's a thousand things. And so I don't think one way or another. But what I said is I quote tweeted his response, and I said, pretty powerful response to the suspension.
Right.
Is that wrong? I'm going to start there. Okay.
No.
Okay, so
that's
stop there.
Right.
I thought it was a powerful response to the suspension because it wasn't a sentence. It wasn't through a lawyer. It was through him on his Twitter account on, like, a term paper, this looked like. I follow. I say, a lot is covered here, way more than most would. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Finally, I said, good to see Michael Chavis, and I added him, facing it head on. Right?
Maybe.
Okay, do you, you
I
have
mean,
a,
it could, you, could be dancing. You know, this could be this, and this
what
is why
facing
no one,
it head on mean to you? Because maybe we'll just cover it here. Maybe I'll play some of this on Prospect One. What does that mean to you? Because I got called out on
well,
that
it depends.
Comment.
It depends. If this could be facing it head on, the Welsh. This could be, you know, hey, look, I didn't do this. I don't know how this got into my system. I think this was a bad test. I absolutely did not do this. And we find out that, you know, some trainer put something in his, you know, in his drink. I gave that up because this isn't an injectable steroid. So this absolutely could have been slipped to him. But if he did do it and he knows he did it, he's dancing and he's not facing it head on. He's hiding. Whereas it would be much better to just say, you know what, I got caught.
Okay, well,
I apologize to my family, all that garbage. So I just don't know.
If he's lying, he's lying. That, right. I'm not arguing that, and I'm not saying anything about that, to be frank. I'm not saying, is he lying, is he not? I didn't say, good to see Michael Chavis proving his innocence. Good to see Michael Chavis shutting the haters up. I'm saying it's good to see Michael Chavis facing it head on because he is not hiding. He's responding to it. I'm not. Now, is he lying? He could be lying. That's very likely.
He's definitely responding to
it. But he is facing it head on, which is a response. All right, let's talk about this on the other side of the break. We'll finish up some more. More Michael Chavis talk. And I'll tell you because guess what? He responded to me. So we'll talk about that. So don't go anywhere. It's Bogman and the Welsh in this league.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
That's what's going on, man. Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, inthisleague.com. That's our home. That's where you can find... Oh, man, there's so much there. We got the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Bogman just had on Jake Seeley. To go
That's
over
right.
On the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast, we have a sub podcast in the offseason called The War Room. It's on the same feed, and you had Jake Seeley on. What were you guys talking about?
We talked about kind of where he sits as far as ranking quarterbacks in your first year draft, that kind of stuff. And we talked about Saquon Barkley, of course, because with this draft class, you absolutely have to take you have to have Saquon Barkley high. And I asked him if he would be a first round pick no matter where he wound up, and he answered that. And then we talked a little bit about the wide receiver class. So
okay, that's pretty solid. I like that. We got the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We're doing two a week. We just had on Steve Gardner, and this coming week we've got Heath Cummings from CBS coming on the show, so you might want to check that out. I've got my show Prospect One, which I will be covering kind of the opening day, or I've covered the opening day of the minor league season, and a bunch more great episodes coming up. And then we've got In This Ring, the wrestling podcast. We got the hockey podcast. And then you'll even see some stuff on our other show. We do the full 60 year-round fantasy football talk. So there is a lot happening there. There's In This League swag. And you can even join in our universe with the ITL Army. You can get GroupMe access. You can join in our GroupMe rooms. You can get, we've got them for each sport, every piece of conversation. We've got secret comedy shows we do. So if you dig us, InThisLeague.com and Patreon.com, /ITL Army. Those are the places you want to go. So we're talking about Michael Chavis, Boston Red Sox minor leaguer, who was suspended for 80 games for what was it?
The one that starts with a D. I just want to read this line because this was another line that I didn't get to read. This is the same article from 2016 after Colabello got popped for this stuff.
Okay, so just a recap. Colabello got popped for the same stuff that Chavis just got popped for.
Right.
Okay.
And the SB Nation, one of the Blue Jays writers called Dang You to Heck, that's his name on this article anyway. He wrote a long article about this drug in particular, and he talked about how it went out in 1994 and you had to get it through black markets. This is pretty intense here. You stand an excellent chance of poisoning yourself or becoming stupidly stomach sick on this stuff. Then should you actually get some of the real thing in a dose that's correct and won't render you confined to your bathroom with the scours, you stand an excellent chance of destroying your liver. Dehydrochylomethylcesterone is well known to be very hard on the liver, and many on the Eastern Bloc athletes dosed with it, often without their knowledge, suffered hepatic liver and renal kidney failure in later life as a result. Few lived long, full lives after being on a regime of this stuff.
It's intense, man. That's very, very intense stuff.
And I just want to point out that I'm not like, I don't know if this guy, and I gave up the point that, you know, this is a pill. So could someone have slipped it to him? Absolutely. I just don't. this is one of the very few things where you're just guilty until proven innocent as far as the court of public opinion.
Sure.
And it's just because the fact that most guys are guilty.
And sometimes, you know, it's, and sometimes to go further, it's not about till you're proven innocent. It's just till you're proven forgotten. Till people forget.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
no one's talking about Starling Marte.
I had no idea that Colabello did this. I mean, people are still talking about Marte. That was just last year.
Yeah, but I mean, people are just talking about how the Pirates.
No one will remember this in 5 years anyway that Chavis did this, unless he gets popped again.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I mean, there's a lot of things that could be dispelled, which, you know, personally, the more you look at it, I do wish Major League Baseball could maybe find a way, and maybe just their way of washing their hands of it is being like, yeah, we did our investigation. He's guilty. He's suspended. But like, you know, is it possible for there to be traces of stuff like this in other things? Are there similar compounds? They can just come out and say it. At the end of the day, the suspension probably proves, like, no, there's not. And that is a pretty hardcore hit of guilt then.
It didn't get into his body by accident. And it wasn't, I'm not saying that he didn't, that he definitely knew that he was taking it, but someone knew they were giving it to him. You know, so if he has a trainer, he's got to cut all those people out of his life. Because
100%.
Someone did this. I mean, it would be just like someone poisoning you. I mean,
or,
you just read this. If you're not dosed right, this stuff can kill you.
Or like you said, he's just a liar, you know, or he's just simply lying about the fact of guilt.
The last guy that maintains his innocence, I think, is Roger Clemens. I don't think many other guys.
Yeah, he's held on to that. Yeah, you're right about that. So at the end of the day, like you said, we're in this state where your comparison was perfect of, this is a Ryan Braun state. It could be, in theory.
It is for me. I just feel completely jaded and, you know, I felt lied to so many. Like, you're still after the hot chick, right? So Michael Chavis is the hot chick. You're like, I got to just believe what she's saying.
Doesn't matter that she's had 12 drinks.
Exactly.
And that she's throwing up. Yeah.
Right. For me, it's like, I've had enough of this crap. You know, I'm the there's a bar near my place has this sign on the wall that says, no matter how hot she is, some dude somewhere is tired of her crap.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I am as far as these guys pleading their innocence and that they had no idea about the stuff they were taking.
Again,
I'm just
your comparison is good. Your comparison, because the reason you do it is because Braun vehemently said, I didn't do it. He went, you know, boom, 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 heels on the ground.
I bought in. I felt like an idiot. And now I just don't want to feel like an idiot.
And Chavis, not in the same fashion, but more than I've seen a player in a while, long letter and got personal with personal things in his family and really hit home. And he did it 20 minutes after the report was in. I mean, he was ready to go. And furthermore, he responded to many people, and people were not nice, of course. The internet was slamming.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a religious guy, and he was putting some stuff up there. So like I said, I think I'm one of the first people or whatever to kind of quote tweet it. I probably wasn't, by the way, but I quote tweeted it with just my comments. And like I said, pretty powerful response to the suspension. I think it's accurate. A lot is covered here. It's accurate. Way more than most accurate. Good to see Michael Chavis facing it head on. Because I felt that he's not hiding from it. I didn't say you're not guilty or you're innocent. Good for you for blah, blah, blah. I just said you're facing it head on because you're going on Twitter. You wrote a freaking page about it. And you're getting personal. And I thought the stuff about the family stuff was very personal. He responded pretty quickly after I quote tweeted this. And he liked and retweeted my thing. So if you go there, I'm one of his top ones. And he said, I have nothing to hide. I know the truth and would do anything to prove it to everyone else. I don't know how this happened, but I will show that what I've accomplished was all me. That was his response to me.
First of all, it's wild that he responded to you, but I feel like maybe, you know, I think it does build a little bit more case towards him that he is responding to people saying stuff like this. Now, what I'm trying to do right now is I'm looking for, will you do me a favor since people respond to you and everyone hates me? Why don't you send a DM or not a DM, but a tweet to Chris Colabello? And say, do you have any comments on Michael Chavis's situation?
I don't even know if he's on Twitter.
He is. I'm looking at it right here. So here, well, I'll send it to him.
Okay. Yeah, you send it to him.
I mean, I'm gonna look like a silly goose when he doesn't say anything.
Yeah, but it's fine. I mean, he's not going to respond to you right now, but maybe you'll get a response.
I don't think he'll respond to me at all, but I'm just going to ask him. Just wondering if it's at CC20RAKE Rake has any opinion.
What great, it's is, great radio.
What's Michael Chavis's suspension? What's his Twitter?
At Michael Chavis 11.
At Michael Chavis 11 suspension.
Yeah.
And I'll just leave it at that.
That's a good one. I think that's a good one. And like I said, I give him there's a form of credit. Again, could it be the Braun effect? It absolutely could. He faced it head on. Now, I said I was going to talk about this on Prospect One, but like I said, I'll probably play some of this on Prospect One now that we're having this conversation because I really like some of your points here. The responses were different. some towards me, some towards him. There's a lot of you know his fans or whatever that obviously probably saw the retweets were, you know, they were for him. You know, heads up, buddy. This will pass. God bless that. You know, blah, 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 whatever. But
well, he's not a criminal or anything like. And I, for a long time, I held real hatred for cheaters. I mean, I'm still going to call them cheaters because, you know, guys that do this, they're cheating. Sure. But, you know, this is a mistake. Even if he did it on purpose, it's a mistake. And he's a young man and he has time to make up for it and become a better person. So even if he did do it, he's not evil. You know, he's just a kid that made
it. He's a nice guy. By the way, he's a nice guy. Right. So this was one of them. He said, this guy quote tweets me, he goes, facing it head on, good golly. I like that he said golly. He denies everything as per usual and shields himself behind, quote, God. Pity. Mm. Comes into league with a strike against him and always tainted by that. Hopefully he can learn from this. What was the strike against him that he came into league? I don't know that.
Well, I think this is the strike against him.
I thought there was maybe another one. So he was saying that hopefully he can learn from this. So that's a guy I did not like.
I think he's meaning he'll come into the majors with a strike against him.
Okay.
Once he gets there.
Okay. I thought there was another. I'm not seeing it. I thought there was somebody else that slammed me, but I'm not seeing it now. So
maybe they deleted it. Maybe they said, oh, man. I can't say this to the Welsh.
I better not mess with the Welsh. I mean, I do have a fiery temper. That's definitely for sure.
If you do lose a bet to us, we'll give out your phone number. So
that is absolutely true. I will say I did offer for him to come on Prospect One. I said, okay. Also, I know you're responding to people. I have a platform with my show, Prospect One. If you'd like to speak your piece on it, glad to have you on, but get why you wouldn't.
Yeah, I think his lawyers would probably suggest him, even if he is completely innocent, to not go on.
But he's all over Twitter. He's all over Twitter responding.
I mean, they
probably
got to him. You said it 20 minutes afterwards. They probably got to him immediately and said, all right,
he spent a good little bit. Maybe
what was the last? What was the last thing he said? Is he still out there saying it or did he stop?
I was like, ooh, I see your tweet. Let's see. There's a retweet. He spent about an hour because I'm looking here. There was one retweet above mine of his. It says, regarding this type of suspension, I was incredibly disappointed because you're my favorite prospect. It's a someone, you know, best of luck type of stuff.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, if you just go to his and you go to his tweets and replies, you know, he hit people that called him out. Like this guy says, seriously, Michael Chavis, you have a quote about the Bible pinned to your Twitter account, but you get caught cheating and try to cop out of it with the I don't know how that got there excuse. Not cool, man. Hashtag Red Sox kids will look up to you. You want that legacy? And Chavis responded. He said, I haven't read this, by the way. That is far from the legacy that I want, and I will do everything in my power to ensure that's not the case. If I had been, quote, caught, this process would have been much easier.
By the way, religious people make mistakes too.
Yeah. I did not do it. And although most may not believe me, I know the truth and my performance will reflect that. So that was his response to this dude. Like, I mean, he wasn't very nice about it. So.
Right.
And there's a couple more. He definitely had this guy. This is the last one. this guy responded to a tweet from him 2 years ago. Where Chavis had tweeted the phrase "Do not be afraid" is written in the Bible 365 times. That's a daily reminder for God to live every day fearless. I think to be honest with you, when you know the religious stuff, I think hurts these guys more when they mess up. It's even more difficult. Then this guy, he responded after, I guess the Bible is okay with using PEDs though, huh? It's so ridiculous.
It's like people who...
He said, by the way, real quick, perhaps you should have been afraid of getting caught and opting not to cheat in the first place. Just a thought. And then he says, the Bible says, quote, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, those... Yeah, no, it's too much. It's too much.
Look, I don't want to get political or anything, but, you know, the anti-Bible people are quick to burn the Bible people when they make a mistake, but they're also, you know... It's just as bad as the Bible people saying you can't do X, Y, or Z because the Bible says it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Regardless of all that.
Complete hypocrisy.
Yeah, and regardless of all that stuff. He had about an hour run. He had an hour run where he decided to do this stuff.
And then his lawyer said, hey, shut the hell up.
Maybe Red Sox people just said, hey, maybe let's chill out on this right now. But hey, I was his first response. You know, he responded to me. Again, I probably sound, and I think there maybe is a level, and I'm not saying I'm impartial. I'm not a journalist, by the way. I'm a radio host, podcaster. So, you know, screw any of that. I don't need to have it. I am biased in whatever I want to be. And I think there's a part of me that says, like, because I've been around this kid. He's a nice guy. He was a funny kid. Though, you know, when I look back now, because he says he's known this for a couple months, I wonder if it happened during the AFL at all, because there was some times where maybe it was almost like, you know, but it might have been overwhelming where he was jaded by it, by the whole process of what was going on. But, you know, I've been around the guy. He's a nice guy. And that doesn't mean anything. I think he's... from what he's shown, he's trying to be as honest as possible. And maybe there's a part of me that wants to believe it, but I'm also not saying here that I'm here and I believe this. I believe him.
Right.
It's not, I don't actually care to have done that. That's not where I'm going with it. I just simply saw his quote of what he talked about it.
You're rational. You just want to see what comes of it.
Yeah. Nothing like I'm not saying one way or another, nor if he pulled a Braun, I'd be like, yeah, that's what a lot of these guys do. So I understand all of it. My thing is getting taken out of context.
If this was Nick Ahmed, what would you have said?
I would just slam. You can't even get a hit on Mackenzie Gore and the AZL. And no, but like
as long as you're honest,
the thing that I don't like here is that I'm getting killed because I'm not burning him to the ground, and that's what everyone wants to do. All tweets. I mean, because there's pandering tweets, and it comes off as pandering when you deny the allegations. And then there are all your fans that pander.
Well, there's not
to
too
you.
Many middle road people on Twitter anyway.
Yeah,
right?
But that's the
I
whole
mean,
point.
Still,
that's what I'm getting.
Twitter,
at.
Dude.
There,
you know.
Have to pander or you have to slam. And I come in and I'm just like, hey, it's a powerful comment. I thought it was powerful. The guy talked about family addiction stuff that he didn't need to talk about. To me, that's a powerful statement. He wrote four freaking paragraphs. He went in depth. And I thought he was facing it head on by putting it on Twitter and responding to people. And people didn't like that and think I'm giving a pass. I'm not giving a pass. The dude's going to serve 80 games. I bumped him down in my rankings. And we're all going to have – he's going to have a big old asterisk next to his name for a couple years until, you know, whatever. More information comes out. I don't know if he can prove anything. I thought it was wild. And I thought it was wild that he responded to me because it's a pretty big story. And that was
– I hope he comes on, man. I hope that he comes on and talks to you. And,
I mean, that'd be great. Doubt it happens.
I mean, if he agreed to come on just to talk about baseball, would you still do that?
100%. I actually wanted to get him on. I was actually working to try to get him on earlier in the year. I wanted to get him on and just talk about baseball. I haven't talked about any of these guys, about anything. But if he wants to have a sounding board, great. I'm not going to kill you. Speak your piece. That's it, man. Speak your piece. It'll all come out in the end. It always does. It always does. It don't fool anybody. Like Roger Clemens. All right. We'll be back. We got fantasy baseball breakdown to do in the third hour, so don't go anywhere. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. This is In This League.